Hi, everyone. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know that your girl is on Patreon. What Else Is Going On podcast, aka WEIGO, WEIGO, is on Patreon. So if you feel so inclined and want to support your girl that way, you can head on over to patreon.com/WEIGO podcast. That's patreon.com/WEIGO podcast, WEIGO podcast. Now, if you don't want to be on a monthly recurring thing, I totally understand that. But if you want to support, you can head on over to buymeacoffee.com/WEIGO, WEIGO. Again, buymeacoffee.com/WEIGO, because you know a girl be trying to put in some work and a coffee could help me stay awake. So those are your two options. And if you don't want to do either of those things, if you could rate, review, and subscribe and share with your friends, I would love that. Now, on to the episode.
The following podcast is a CJ Media production.
Welcome to the What Else Is Going On podcast, the intersection where pop culture life and real life meet up. Get ready to deep dive into all things reality TV and the dichotomy of loving the game, but not necessarily the players, when they start to reflect real life issues like deep-seated discrimination and a world rooted in racism. Feeling conflicted because I love
Clip.
And I also have to chant Black Lives Matter. Buckle your seatbelts, embrace yourself, because my foot is off the brake and this intersection gets busy. So come along for the ride so we can see what else is going on.
Hi.
Oh my gosh. Why do you look gorgeous?
Oh, it's the filter.
I'm like, wait, I washed my face and moisturized for you.
I don't even have makeup on, tell you. The light's gone. No, I put chaps. I have an Aquaphor on. It's the filter, dude.
It's good. Can I tell you, Aquaphor, I use that because I use Retin A just because I want skin like a baby. So I want mine just to like peel off. And so I use Aquaphor right after that.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Yes. So good. Yes.
I am so happy to finally meet you.
I know. It's so nice to see you. Yes. And, you know, I've been a fan and I text you all the time.
It's so funny because when you and I were talking, it's like you watch these shows, you don't know people, right? But you feel like you can pick up on like, okay, I like that about that person. Okay, that person is forward and upfront. And I find when I watch these shows, I'll use the word attracted. I'm always attracted to the woman that speaks her mind, doesn't care. This is how I feel. And you can't take that away from me. Whether I'm right or wrong, whatever. So I was, when you first came on the screen, I was like, well, she's gorgeous. So that will help. And then let me see.
You're so sweet. Keep going.
So I'm so glad that we finally got to do this. So I'll introduce you. Now, guys, thank you so much for listening. If you were listening in on that little sneak peek, you heard a voice that's probably very similar, that you've heard every week for the last, I don't know how many weeks. I know I enjoy hearing that voice and seeing that face. She is new on this season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She has came in and caused quite a stir. And quite frankly, I am glad that she is ruffling feathers. Crystal, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm so, you know, this has been like, I was so excited. This is in my calendar.
Yeah, I told you I was willing to play. I didn't get to tell you that I was willing to play the long game. I'm like, when she's available, I'm there. When she's available,
I also want to, you know, I've done a few podcasts, not many, but I want to space them out. But then I was like, oh my God, I got to get to you. And people don't know I work. So it's like between work and the kids going back to school last week, it's like, and then I have reunion tomorrow.
Yes. How are you feeling about that? How are your stomach? Do you have what they call bubble guts? Do you know what that is?
I can imagine what it is because I think I have it. I wasn't nervous until a few days ago. I think that I just don't want to think about things until
they happen.
Yeah. And I think that you can, as little as people know about me on the show, I take a long time to process things. I always wait things out. I don't make rash judgment. And so even something like this, where it's like, I want to, if I think too early about it, then it'll like consume me. Mm-hmm. So, but then I kind of took this week to really focus on, you know, how I'm feeling, and because I have so much going on. Like people think the show is like your whole life, and people also forget context.
Yes.
Like this was 8 months ago.
Yes.
Now. Mm-hmm. So people each episode are like, how can you not change? I'm like, that was the next day from last episode.
From last episode. Right. It wasn't like 8 months later. Ago and then 2 months later. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like the next day. Like we filmed a dinner and then the next day we have something. It's like, so I'm also, anyways, you're going to ask me all these questions, but I'm just like, I'm processing it, but I'm thinking about tomorrow, about where I was and then where I am today. And that's really important for me to express that.
And I'm glad that you said that, because I think also when you are a person that takes time to process a situation, I think people forget. Let's be clear, in your everyday life, there may be drama, but you're not forced to either partake in or watch situations that you normally would either walk away from or say, this is too much, or intervene with your friends that you've known for a while and say, yep, we're not going to do this right now. Right. So you taking the time to process it, and then reunion, it's like, there's no time to process. I feel like the reunion probably moves so fast and so quick.
I think that's what's going to happen. I mean, it's my first one. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's like, if I got into an argument with someone, which I obviously did in the first part of the season, I wouldn't have dinner with them the next day and then the next day and then the next day. Like I would be like, look, like, and that was sort of last night's episode. I'm like, just take a, like, just chill. Like, you know, people are like, oh, you know, I think some people were like, I get that. Some people are like, that's kind of cold. It's like, that's what I needed with Sutton.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Just take a pause. Like, we don't need to define and hug it out tomorrow, because we've done nothing but fight. So like, that's the reason why she and I, you know, start moving forward. And it still takes time. Even when I come back and I'm like being a little shady, it's like, I'm not over it, but I'm still trying my best. I really am. And that's a process. Mm-hmm. But if you fight every day, you can't, like, you're not going to make up the next day. It doesn't work. And so that was my thing. It's like, and it's also very toxic to a group. And it's easy for me to say it out loud, because I'm like, I don't know any of these people. So I'm just like, what I see is that you guys are having problems. Like, just both of you shut up. It's just ridiculous.
And take a beat without everybody weighing in. And we get that's the show. But I also feel like taking a beat will allow us to see more too. It's not just, oh, if we just address it right now, that's the only drama we'll get. No, taking a beat. If they had showed that scene with you and Erica talking, you know what I mean? That could have formed some opinions too. But I like what you said. It's like, I need a beat, because I know for me, even in regular everyday IG, whatever, I need a minute. And my thing this season, people like little beefs, right? Like, I'm sure you know Potomac. So Karen and Giselle, their beef is funny. Their beef
is funny. I'm not watching any other show right now. Okay. So okay. I have been seeing a lot of their beef.
Okay, a lot of their things. So theirs wasn't rooted in microaggressions. And I think that's what people don't get. So I've heard people say, oh, this Kristen and Sutton beef, I don't understand why people can't get on board. And I'm thinking, that's clearly a privilege, because it was rooted in something racial. So how do you enjoy a beef that, even though other things come out of it, its root is something basically poisonous. So we don't want to eat the fruit of that.
Right. People forget. That was the very first time I spoke to her when we talked about race.
Yes.
Like the first 5 minutes I felt shut down. And that sort of set the tone for me.
Yeah.
In getting to know someone. And then I have no space to like step back and chill.
Right.
And she didn't have space.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think people forget that, and that's okay, because people, like I said, the show, people every week, it's like they move through it.
You know,
it's on, in our lives, it's a daily. It's like, they don't get that, you know? Yeah. And then I think because people know so much more now, mm-hmm. and they want to apply it to us then.
Yes.
And I'm like, just wait, like, wait a second, finish it out, because you guys stan someone 3 weeks ago and you hate them today. That was 4 days in their life.
That was four. Exactly. Exactly.
Like, what are you doing? You know, but I get it, because before I was on the show, that's how I viewed it.
Okay.
So I get grace to that. Like, I understand. Okay. So when I was getting heat and love and heat in the beginning, Rob's like, just like, don't look, chill, because you know what's coming.
Right.
And so that's what made it easier for me. And that's what I think when people say like, you'll toughen up, your skin gets tough through social media, because I've watched the roller coaster of reactions.
Okay.
When in fact, you know, we only shot 14 weeks. So this is me meeting them to wrap. It's like, it's short.
14 weeks?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It was like,
that was really, and it's almost like intense. I can't think of any more intense therapy. Like, if you're in need of therapy and you're working through, it's like, that
and
is
it's all whilst I'm trying to get to know people. And at this time, this veil of what the show sort of is supposed to be about. So I'm always in fear because I got caught up very early. And then I always was like, because I've never gone through that with someone, you know?
Right.
If I did have an argument, I don't have to see them the next morning.
Right.
I could just chill and be like, think about it and go through my day and go see my kid, have my life, and then be like, okay, you know what? I'm processed. I can discuss it. And then it's productive.
Yes. And not only that, I know someone that said the way that they deal with things is to address right then. And they didn't understand people who took time to process. But when you know yourself, for me, I need a minute to process, because I don't ever want to say anything that you can't come back from. Because in that moment, especially if you're talking about me, my race, something I can't change, or even we got into an argument because we were on a friend's vacation. Give me a minute, because I don't want to say anything. And I think respecting that boundary, but it's like, they won't even allow you to say, can I have a minute?
I asked for it. I'm not allowed to. So,
right.
That was challenging for me. And people think, they're like, you're on a girl's trip. I'm like, I just met them 3 days ago. This is my third day of shooting.
Right.
That's not a girl's trip for me. It's like, it's cameras. Like, it's not that.
Well,
through the season, each trip becomes more of a girl's trip for me.
Yes,
it does. And because I'm like, I have this weight off my shoulder and things are getting better. But the beginning was so loaded with anxiety. And then my first argument is about microaggressions was just like, what's going on here, you know? And
yeah,
that was hard. So
now, can I ask you this?
Right in, girl. We're just like getting.
I know, we're just diving right. Right. I was like, okay, I loved it, because I feel like because we've talked so much.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, it's not like a, who are you again? What's your name? It's like, no, let's get into it. But with every race has its stereotypes, things that people consider them as. So I feel comfortable in saying, and I know you agree, that the Asian race is considered the model minority, right?
100%.
So growing up, when you're raised like that, like for me, people say respectability politics with Black people. So growing up, my parents and grandparents, don't you get out here and embarrass me in front of these white people. You don't do this. So you always have a way that you sometimes find yourself presenting yourself until you're like, wait a minute, you know, but that's how we were raised. With you going in, was that a concern of yours too? Like, did you have those ancestral voices in your ear? Like, Crystal, don't go in and do this and embarrass us.
That's such a great question. Because I've always felt that way growing up, you know, that like your parents taught you, that's what my parents taught me.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've gotten older, because I'm so fiercely proud of being Asian and you know, what I've accomplished in my life, who I am in my heart, like, I'm going to walk in and be myself and it will be loved and accepted. And then, because I feel like that's been majority of my experience as an adult since I've had kids, like really as an adult, you know?
Okay.
And then it wasn't received properly. And then I was like, whoa, like I realized that I've been living in my own bubble.
Okay.
But again, that took me time through, because like it's happening and I'm like, I wasn't able to jump all the way there.
Okay.
Until really after we filmed. After we filmed, because it's so much filming. And then I got to like sit and like be quiet. And it literally takes me months to really start understanding what happened. And I was like, wow, like I just, and then seeing responses and stuff like that. And it really occurred to me just how much people who have those microaggressions want me to fit that model minority.
They had no idea.
And I always think of myself as someone who is a model Asian person. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I represent, but then speaking out loud, standing up for myself. Mm-hmm. Those things are very triggering for people that I didn't realize. And it's painful to like, yeah. know, like it's not okay for me to do it. You know, people keep comparing. One person says this, they're
esteemed almost.
Yes. On a pedestal.
Yeah.
I say it, it's cold, it's whatever. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, like, I've never been called cold before, actually, before the show. So it's super interesting.
Yes.
And through this process, I've really learned what model minority means and how it's important for me to break free from it. But also, just so, 'cause I would like to be a voice for people who are still too afraid to speak out.
That 100% that, yeah. Doing this podcast, I feel the same way, because you had, like, even talking to my mom, we were talking about, I had someone on here that went to Princeton University. And when she went, it was very much your affirmative action. So we don't think you're smart enough to be here. 17 years ago, well, my daughter, my youngest is a senior, and that's one of the colleges she's looking at, right? So you're thinking all these things. And my mom said, my mom does her, protesting or whatever. My mom's always been very proud to be Black, entire family, of course, but there are different types of people. And if Princeton didn't want her, she wouldn't go, versus if Princeton wanted me, oh, I'm there and I'm going to make space for myself and my daughter even more so.
Yeah.
So it's great to see that you feel that way instead of shrinking the other way. And even being afraid of what your own people will say, because I don't think people understand minorities. We get that too. We get that from the outside, yes. which we're used to. But then when it's your own coming at you, you're like, wait a minute.
Yes, I got that too. And it's funny when you bring up your daughter and your mom. When we were watching it, my mom called me, said, can you not, can you like be more quiet? Like, don't, you're so, you know, you're so strong. My mom's like, very Chinese way.
Yes.
And I said, well, first of all, we already filmed it, Mom. And second, I said, Mom, you see me. And I'm really just coming through this epiphany of when you said that. And I said, Mom, when you're with me all the time, you know how strong I am. And this is how I talk in real life, you know? And mm-hmm. she's like, I know, but you're on TV and you're with these people. So that is the exact, represents the model minority.
Yes.
Act a certain way in front of people because she was scared of how we're perceived as too strong. She didn't want me to be attacked. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is that we shot the finale, which is coming, you know, mm-hmm. Early February.
Wow. Okay.
I know, it was a long time.
A long time ago. Yes.
And the anti-Asian, the hate crimes started that week.
Oh, wow.
So it wasn't as prevalent in my mind yet until we wrapped, which is so fascinating because I hosted Chinese New Year while this was happening. It happened at Chinese New Year. So, so back to my mom, I just was like, wow, like, shouldn't tell me to shut up in real life.
Right.
So when it comes to seeing me talk like this in front of other mm-hmm. people, other races, not just white, like any, like, yeah. Asian, it's like, oh no, what are they going to, how are they going to react?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting too.
Right?
It is because I don't think, people don't get that we are, we live a layered life. And then when you choose to be like, no, I'm not, and raise your kids that way, because it seems to me that you are raising your kids to speak up and speak out. That's what made me speak out even more. I've always been a person that, you know, spoke my mind or whatever. And there were times, of course, when you're like, I'll leave that one alone. But I made sure in my kids, I pushed it even more, like, be respectful. And my mom always taught me, you can say whatever you want. It's just how you say it. So the how I said it was my problem before.
I've done that too. I know it's really good intentions, really in my heart, always the right place. And then, like, you know, Rob will be like, oh, you can say it a little differently.
Right.
Like, but I know where I come from. And that was like when Garcelle was saying, you know, how she has to teach that conversation we had in like about her kids. And I remember I got a call from like Zoe's preschool that she was talking about dark skin and whatever. And I was like, yeah, like that's what we talk about. Like, I remember walking in the kitchen and Lucy, they were like, Zoe was like, look how brown Lucy is. I was like, yeah, like we're not like, no, you don't talk like,
and
look at our arms. So we started comparing arms and I'm like, you're mixed. And you know, like this is our conversation because you shy away from that. It's a problem. We want to talk about it. I said, because you're Jewish and daddy's from Western, you know, like we really dive deep.
Okay.
Really deep into it, you know, cause I want them to feel safe about it. Cause then they can teach their friends. Cause it's not, this generation's not going to change.
No,
it's changing.
Yes. And you have to be comfortable. Yeah. And you have to be comfortable knowing still your kids have to be comfortable still being proud, embracing in totality who they are.
Yeah.
Just like we have to be comfortable embracing in totality. And I thought it was very interesting how, and I hate the word woke, but of course we all use it, right? But it's funny, and I'm sure you've had this experience, and tell me if you haven't, but in the wake of George Floyd and AAPI hate, right? You see all of these people that are now allies and they're woke and they're amplifying BIPOC voices. But then you sit back and you watch them observe a housewife show or another show that's supposed to be reality. And it's almost as Dorit said, diametrically opposite in action as you were in words for this particular incident. So it's fascinating to watch people say amplify Asian voices. And then when an Asian voice is amplifying itself or standing in what it believes in, that's a problem now.
These are
the woke people, not the people that you expect it from.
Right.
You know,
I think that, and I try to find, I always try to put myself in their shoes.
Yes.
What is their experience? What, like, I have a girlfriend who sort of made a comment about Jews.
Okay.
And I was like, my kids, like, this is, I just had Max, is that my kid is Jewish. Don't say that to me. Mm-hmm. And we had this incredible conversation later. She was crying. Like, I didn't know. I've never met a Jewish person. I said, like, this is what I would hope. Like,
yes,
I'm not trying. By the way, people, it's so funny. People are like, you're out to get, you're, you know, you hate white people. And I'm like, oh, so my husband's white. My kids are half white.
Right.
We don't want people to be racist. We're not like, yay, we found one. Like, that's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Like, I don't want people to be racist. Right. I don't, like, it's not exciting to catch someone. Right, right. It's such a bizarre concept to me. Yes. Like, I'm like, look, I hear you. Like, you've never, like, you grew up in Missouri, you know, and like, mm-hmm. and let's talk. And she's like, I don't know. I'm open. I was like, that's it. Like, we're 90% there. That's it.
That's it. I said,
you can't change in that moment. You're right. Not going to lose all your microaggressions in that moment. Mm-hmm. And I can't expect anyone to, but it's like, just listen, just be like, listen. And you can even ask questions like Kathy did.
Thank
like,
you.
Why is it not okay to seek? Like,
thank you.
Just ask a question. You know, I understand the fear of asking the question. Mm-hmm. I do. And that's why I try to give grace. When I try to start talking to people that I can feel are fearful, mm-hmm. I'll like lean in harder because it's like, they're not sure. And I don't, you know, I want them to know it's a safe space.
Yes.
But yeah, it's like, I want everyone to, that's what makes people unique, right? Like their differences, their understandings, their misunderstandings. If everyone's homogenized, that would be terrible too.
Yeah.
But I love this conversation. I think it's so important. And I try to do it in a safe space.
I appreciate these conversations too. And see, the funny thing to me is people again say, we need to have important conversations. So it's like, important conversations are talking about what happened to George Floyd, right? But it doesn't stop there. It's talking about how, oh, wow, like you said, I didn't realize that was a microaggression. I'm sorry. And I tell people all the time, I don't expect you to know everything about Black people. There are some things as a Black woman, sometimes you're uncovering and still learning different things. So, but ask the question.
Yeah.
And then don't debate my experience. If I'm telling you this is what I experienced, don't then come back with, but they're a nice person.
Right.
It's like, well, people that wear white hoods, somebody thinks they're nice too.
Yeah. Nice is not a word that describes someone who's not racist.
Exactly. Someone thinks they're nice.
Synonymous. Nice equals not racist. Like, don't describe each other. Right. Like, it's such a weird, you know.
Can I ask, I think sometimes we only think about the women that are going through these experiences as housewives, whether it's with race or with anything, right? Being the new woman in the show or even in jobs, anything. But I would feel like it would take a toll on your friends, or not a toll, but maybe they would start to see things different. So since you've gone through this, you have friends that you had before the show. So people are watching you, your husband, they may see comments. Have any of them not just came to your defense, but also had sort of an awakening or reckoning themselves? Like, oh, Crystal, we've been friends for so long because we're in our bubble. I didn't know Asian people still went through this.
So I'm extremely social. I have a lot of social groups. And so, but because of COVID, I've really narrowed it to people who I've seen a lot recently. Okay. And those, that group, we have talked about this subject before I filmed.
Okay. Okay.
Because we started filming October. This was in the peak of Black Lives Matter, you know. Yes. So we were always talking about it. My group of friends is very mixed, but everyone was like talking about their experiences. So I think when they watch it now, our discussion is like, wow, like that really is real. You know, it sort of solidifies the reason for the movement, right? But how different it is for an Asian person versus a Black person. And I think that's what it is. For me, I think, and I will say this, there's also been negativity amongst my friend groups too. Like,
okay,
it has made them uncomfortable.
Okay.
Watching the whole thing.
Okay.
Right? So some people are more open. Some people double down.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, so I'm starting to sort of see where people are. Mm-hmm. I don't get rid of my friends like that. This is not for me something that's like, we're done. But this is like eye-opening about their openness.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like, you know, at the same time, this experience also has me reflecting about myself and my microaggressions. And that's what I always open with people, especially white people. When we talk about race, like, I just like, just so you know, just because I'm a person of color doesn't mean I don't have microaggressions.
Right.
So I want to level the playing field here, mm-hmm. like just in that aspect, that it's not like I assume white people are and all people of color are not. We right. all have it. And yes. I'm dealing with it myself too. And I want to have a conversation how we all can deal with it together, you know? It's fascinating. It's also, again, the whole Asian thing is people are like, I had no idea people felt this way about Asians because it's so underground and it's mm-hmm. so quiet because we as a community generally don't respond.
Right.
That's what we're taught. So when right. you don't respond, you don't hear it. We don't talk about it. We don't fight back for fear. You know, my mom always taught me, you know, like if I was in a car when I was like a teenager driving, it's like, you know, don't do it. They're going to, you know, hurt you.
Okay.
So, the friend thing is interesting. It's across the board.
Yeah. It's like you said, with your friends, I'm sure you've had people, cause I've had people say, wow, I've never heard you talk about it. And it's something that you just don't go around talking about unless something, you know, you go somewhere and something is, you know, you're like, I went to a store here, moving here. It was 15 years ago in Maryland, cause I'm from Jersey. And the cashier was waiting on people. And then she just kind of like stopped, closed her window, started counting her money and never said, I'll be right back. So the person in front of me, who was a white woman, said, turned to me and said, wow, she didn't even say anything. And the cashier heard it and assumed it was me and said something smart. And then the older white gentleman next to me said, it was the N-word that said it.
And no. I was like,
and I immediately, in that moment, it was like there was no impulse control, no anything. Because to me, I was like, how in the world do you think you have the right? And it's like all these people, I'm the only Black one in there. All these people are looking at me and I just completely lost my mind. And I'm, you know, and then it was like security. And I was like, I'm
guess
leaving.
What? Then get, yeah, then that.
Yeah. And I so it's like, there are certain things, a friend of mine and I had a conversation about being more tolerant. And to a certain degree, I understand that and we extend grace. But then there are things that to me are hard lines where it's like, well, I'm not tolerant of racists or bigots, not meaning I'm nasty to them, but meaning I'm not going to engage you because I know that's how you feel, you know?
Yeah.
So that is really interesting. So it's funny because I had this whole outline for Crystal, but I also like to lead by what we're feeling when you jump on the Zoom.
We're feeling a lot right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of vibes going on.
And it's funny because you're answering a lot of my questions. So this is just a random question.
Yeah.
That I wanted to know personally. Look, so you lived in Northridge growing up and I didn't know, but doing my research on you, I saw that you lived in Northridge, which had a huge earthquake in 1994 and you were 9. Do you remember that?
I do. I've never gotten this question. I remember it so distinctly. It was like, I think it was MLK weekend. It was a holiday weekend. It was Monday.
Well, it fits in what we're talking about now.
Yes, yes. I like to, I'm all about bringing it together, right? We're all the same.
We're all the same.
And I remember we had this one, I don't remember going out late, but my mom tells me that story, but we ended up sleeping on my mom's floor in my parents' bedroom, like, cause it was, we got in late, I guess. So we slept in her room and I was having a dream that we were in, like my brother and I were laying in a station wagon and they were on rocks. It was like, bleh. And then I woke up to the earthquake.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it's like my dream morphed into the earthquake and the house was screaming. It was so loud. And we were at the top of the landing and we just ran out. And all you hear is the alarm systems. Everyone's alarms kept going off and bottles breaking. And, you know, so I grew up where I live in Northridge was, it's like a planned community. So it's all newer homes.
Okay.
And it was built on like orange groves. So the soil was soft, but we didn't know that until we like started going through the red tagging, you know, like who's destroyed. So many, that's in Northridge. It was these newer homes were not built prepared for earthquake because it was
gone.
And I remember everyone outside, everyone's crying and screaming, is everyone okay? Because I lived in a gated community. So it was everyone was close. And we go, everyone's going house to house. And then we had to wait outside and they were like tagging the homes, which ones, you know. So I lived in, living in Monterey Park in San Gabriel Valley with my parents for like a year while we fixed our house because we didn't have earthquake insurance.
And
And yeah, it was, I remember it very well. And I remember going into the house, we would like run into grab clothes, even though we weren't really allowed to because we were kids. And you could smell alcohol because the bottle, everything broke. And the food, because we had like a built-in Sub-Zero thing.
Right.
And it ripped out, you know, of the wall and all the food.
Oh my
gosh. It's that smell. And actually I it's made people, because I'm kind of known now to like make cocktails and be this like.
I see, because I'm expecting you to make me a margarita on the rocks with a sugar rim.
Anytime you want. I'm in. I love it. And I love, because I love that hosting and cooking, but I never started drinking until I was probably 30.
Okay.
And it's when I talk about it, I think it's because of that.
That smell.
I have such an aversion to that smell because it brings me back to like how horrific that was.
The body is interesting. You saying that reminds me of my grandfather. I was very close to my grandparents, like extremely, like they weren't like second parents. They were second parents. And my grandfather, and it's funny, I told my mom and she's like, she didn't know that story. But my grandfather told me when his mother died, he was the last child and his mother died in childbirth because she had her babies so fast back to back. And back then, of course, you know, science was different or they didn't know certain things. And he said he was like five and his older sister, I'm guesstimating maybe like 18. So she's the oldest, he's the youngest, 18 or 19. And they were at her funeral. His dad was still alive. They were on the front row and he was like getting antsy and they didn't want him to really know what was going on. So they gave him an apple and he did not like apples.
Wow.
Like ever, because the smell of the apple reminded him. So you saying that is like, our bodies are amazing, but I wonder if they're also like self-protective.
Totally.
Too.
So that would be very triggering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you saying that about the alcohol and also you saying how it could take months for you to work through something. I feel like that could also be the body's way of protection, because if we always react or if we think about, I'm sure there's been times when you've been bullied or teased. And even as a kid, you can kind of almost block it out, because if we allowed ourselves to think about what we're really going through, we may not be able to handle it.
Right.
So you develop a whole bunch of different mechanisms. So I think that was really interesting.
We'll be back after a quick break.
But you still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying,
already?
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
We all artists, man. You feel me? We gonna have this like,
bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gonna lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
That's totally me. I am very self-protective. If I feel like under attack, I close up. And that's why, you know, it's funny. People are like, I get very quiet later in the season because there's so much going on, so much turmoil. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to like process it. And I don't want to make quick judgments yet because, first of all, I'm leaning in with empathy at this point. I'm like, cause I'm so connected to like my dad and so, you know, all that stuff.
Yes.
And I'm like, what if that was my, I just keep thinking, what if that was my dad? I just kept thinking that, you know, and I would just cry, you know, like, that's so bad. You know, the whole thing, I just felt bad. And, but like, I, it's just hard. I don't want to judge yet. And then when I do, I'm very convicted.
Okay. So it's like a not going back. And this is not to, I have my feelings about people that you've watched the show, but as an example, I noticed quickly last night, there was a conversation and it was, let's bring these two together. And once you said what you said, then it quickly became, okay, then that's that. And it's like those kinds of people, it's like, maybe if you took time to outside of a show, because we know that sometimes people are, they know it's a show, but outside of a show, you don't want to be that back and forth person. So it's more productive to stop, take a minute, think about it. So then you don't have to explain why you're backpedaling or right. why your stance has changed.
Because it'll never end. Because yeah. if you're writing and then you're spending time talking about what you said, and then it just perpetuates and perpetuates, and that's not productive, and that's yeah. not going to get anyone anywhere. And then we're not really focused on the real problem.
Right.
Like, there's actually real problems. Right. And so when people are like, oh, you know, you're team this, whatever, I'm like, I'm not team anyone. I'm team Crystal.
Yes.
Period. Like, I've never in my life spent time with a group of women that I had to be someone's team, because that doesn't, like, I wouldn't be in a room like that.
Yep.
I don't believe in that. You know, for me, I want to specifically talk about last night when people are like, I can't believe your team, whatever. I'm like, if someone called me a liar, that challenges my integrity. And that's mm-hmm. what I was leaning into. I'm not thinking about like what's happening, because I don't know.
Right.
I have this is January, no judgment yet. You
right.
know, I'm starting to see things.
Yes.
But I'm still just like on face value, do not call me a liar.
Yeah.
I'm not a liar. I'm a truth teller. And that not questions my integrity, questions my husband's, my kids, my family. That mm-hmm. represents me as a person, my culture. Like, I don't do that. You know, I just don't lie. I make plenty of mistakes, mm-hmm. but I don't lie. And so we were all discussing that part. And so like, people are like, your team, like there's no teams.
Right. It's not like you're absolving everything. You're saying in this moment, you were doing what the audience is doing, watching in the moment.
Yes. Yes. And by the way, when you do stuff like that, that perpetuates more problems and then more fighting and mm. more problems. And maybe that's what the show is. That's not who I am.
Right. Right.
And it had to be me. It's like, just everyone needs to stop doing all this, you know, like it's just too much. And it brought me back to like, you know, like Sutton, I went on forever. And
yes.
I felt like everybody wanted us to keep talking about it. And she and I were like, let's not talk about it. But everyone kept wanting us to talk about it. And yeah. I'm like, once we stop talking about it, there's room to breathe.
Yeah.
And both of us can go home, go back to our corners, process. And that's what that to me is the way to handle things.
Right. And especially again, when it's also different in wanting you and Sutton to talk about it, because if we're going by face value, it was like Crystal was okay in her stance, but how many other women almost coming at you saying you need to feel differently? So
no one allowed me to just feel. And by the way, it's like, just say like she feels what she feels. It would have been over.
It would have been over. Just say
it truly would have been over.
That's what I said. It's yeah. like, but there is, I will say as a woman, too, because I can't pretend to know what a man feels like, but as a woman and raising daughters, to me, it is power in choosing to honor your boundaries and choosing to honor your feelings. So to have five or six women saying you need to do this, and I am a words person. My dad, I tell people all the time, I can't type, but I can spell. Growing up, we had a little blue dictionary and my dad would randomly pick out a word and I had to spell it. Even now at 44, he will call me and say, bet you can't spell this. So we have this thing. So, and I am a facts person. So when you said it means this, I was like, my insides were like, this is what I'm talking like.
And then they're like, what it implies is this. And I'm like, well, you're implying it.
You are implying
it. History.
Yeah.
I don't have history about it. This is I have boundaries. I use the word correctly, but because you feel that way about something, and they cut this part out. And like, I think it's self-explanatory. I said, when you have, when you get a parking violation, is your intention to break the law? No, there's no negative intention, but it happened. And when you pay, you're saying, I'm sorry, that was a mistake. Moving on, it's cleared from your record, it's over. But it has nothing to do with intention.
Yes, I'm going to find the reason, audience, you can't see me, but I started flailing my arms was I'm in a text message group and I have been going to a chiropractor in DC, and I forgot Constitution Ave has cameras every other second. So I got like four of them, and I said, absolutely not. You won't get a minute of my dime more of my money. I will drive 2 miles an hour. But I took a picture of the top that said speed violation and sent it to my friend and said, should I write into the government entity that named it this and say, you know, you're really not using the word correctly. I like literally sent a text and I almost posted it on Instagram, but I was like, I already know that I push back a lot. So I was like, I'll leave that. But I almost took a picture of it saying speed, you know, violation.
But it actually is correct.
Yeah.
Because it's breaking boundaries. It's crossing boundaries, which is the law, right? The law says you can't do this.
Yeah.
So you cross the boundary.
Yeah.
Intent has nothing to do with it.
No. And can I tell you, when me and my mom, we would go every 3 months to go fly to see my grandmother before she passed in Florida. And we would share the, we shared the same room. We both got dressed in the bathroom, or like our backs would be to each other. If she was in the room, I knocked before I went in, and vice versa. So that's, to me, that's not even like, why is that even an argument? And I had an Asian woman reach out to me and say, growing up in my household as an Asian woman, I wasn't allowed to go from, if I took a shower, I could not go back to my room in my towel. I had to be completely dressed. Hmm. So she said, there are boundaries that everyone has different.
Just respect them. That's yeah. All.
Yeah. I'm like,
but I remember calling my mom. My mom's like, how's shooting going? I was like, oh my God. Like, they just, every time they bring up, you know, this word, and she goes, just take it back. She's so, like, my mom is like classic mm-hmm. model minority. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, just take it back. That's what they want. And I was like, that was like right there. I was like, no.
Yeah.
This is going to be the problem. As the only Asian person on the show, to just bow down and take back to appease people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm taught as an Asian person. And that's what if the audience, like, I can't do that. And by the way, it's not even for the, it's for me.
For you, exactly.
I am. It's not the audience. I never thought about the audience.
Which yeah.
Is, you know, which is interesting because I think some people do.
Some people think about the audience. Yeah.
I do.
And it's funny because if you thought about the audience, then, being an Asian woman, then you probably would have reversed it, but you're not thinking about the audience. You're thinking about
exactly.
Your boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, no, like no one should police my feelings, and I'm not putting it on. I don't want to talk about it. I'm just what, but like that, those are mine and I own yeah. Them. That's for me.
You're just giving me, because I'm like, you see me, I'm like, yeah. Yeah. This, because it was for me, I was almost out on Beverly Hills. Because watching you go through certain things was a reminder of things that I went through when I worked in corporate America and was the only Black person here. And when I would speak up, it would be now everybody's, oh, I'm so offended. My feelings are hurt. I'm crying. It's Taria in HR having to defend. Like, no, they can't. They don't get to say that, or they don't get to do that. While there were other times when it took me 2 seconds to decide, either they're going to take you out of here in handcuffs or you're going to be quiet because you have three kids to feed.
It's a hard balance, because ultimately we need as individuals to get to where we need to get to. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to make those decisions to pull back, to move forward, because if we just were like, no, this is what I got to prove something, that could happen. You could stop feeding your kids. And that's a problem.
Yeah. But
that's the world we live in. So if we can move the needle just a bit, maybe that one time that you held back and you pushed forward, you wouldn't have such negative consequences.
Right.
You know? Right. And so, you know, it's this whole experience has really made me look at, I've always been very kind of Asian centric.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've leaped into really trying to become an ally for all races. It's really transformed me, the show. Mm-hmm. And my husband's always been like that, but like this kind of deeper conversation about it and being proactive. It's been
a lot. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I've said, I've wanted to be a better, it's, people wanting to be allies to my community when you're not used to that, or people being vocal about it, has made me want to make sure that I am a better ally to other as well. So I know that you have to go. So I have one statement and then a question for you. So for the people that like to watch these shows and they have different reasons. Oh, she's just a housewife. She doesn't know. She co-founded a company called Real Coco in 2012. So she has her own company, people. It's a beverage company, correct?
Yes, it is. And thank you for bringing that up. We didn't talk about it season one. I think, you know, it's you know, they want to focus on something. I was like the new housewife, mom and wife, and focused on Rob. And that's fine. It's like, that's the thing. When I know, I feel when I'm so convicted who I am, I don't, you know, when it's like, oh, you're a gold digger, you're like, okay, whatever. Like okay. They really don't know my life. But yeah, I started the company with my best friend, my brother, 9 years ago. And it's, I think we're the second or third largest coconut water company.
Oh yeah.
We're doing well.
I was going to say they're doing, Crystal is doing well with her company.
Thank you. And I'm so proud of it. And it's amazing to employ, you know, all Asian people in Southeast Asia and in East Asia. So that's been very gratifying. And to work with my brother and my best friend, it's so great. I mean, I love my brother and him. And yeah, like we're in Amazon and Costco. And so that's sort of half my life that people don't know about, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't need the show to for it. And but it does complete who I am.
Yeah.
You know, it is an aspect of me that's not shown. And that's okay too. But you know, I love that's actually my daily life is my business and developing new businesses in the food space. And, you know, that's really what I do all the time. So I'm always cooking. And
I see that. I was like, I'm going out to visit my son who's in Orange County. And I'm going to tell my husband, we're swinging. Listen to me. Like we're swinging by Beverly Hills. I'm going to be like,
yes, you are.
Crystal.
Next time you're here, you're coming over for dinner. And I really mean that. Really, really mean that. And yeah, it's just so it's really what feeds my soul is to feed my friends. I know that sounds weird.
No, it's
I have a revolving door. My best friends came over and like just 30 minutes before they're like, we're coming over. And I just made them food out of the fridge. And that's what I love to do. It's something that's so special to me that brings people together. And with all my food issues, to be able to lean into the best part of my life.
That's what I was going to ask you.
It's massively gratifying for me.
Wow.
That I can transform that. And I still suffer. I mean, like having an ED is forever. And I don't want to say the word forever, but it is. I believe that it's going to be forever a long time. But it's to be able to do that in such a positive way has been a massive shift for me. And it's been really great.
That's what I was going to say that next, like to work in this space that you're paid. I heard a preacher once say, sometimes the area of your greatest pain is where you'll find victory. Like it's weird. Like you're finding success and enjoyment in an area that you struggled with.
Yeah.
You know, people would
because
think.
I think that the deepest struggles, if you leave them there, it's like, it's so debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's taking the darkest thing in your life and breaking out to like, and I have to deal with it.
Yes.
As opposed to shoving it down and being okay with it and, you know, ignoring it, it makes me deal with it on a daily basis, which, like I said, I love to do it, you know, like talk about things we're struggling, like struggles. And, but yeah, but thank you for bringing that up. I'm very proud of Real Coco.
I had to, I was like, oh no, y'all, you're not going to just, because I, again, and watching these shows has taught me a lot about myself that I can be very rigid in my thinking with certain things, because my dad always taught me, and this is going to sound funny, but I was raised in the area of Mike Tyson. He was a boxer, right? We know who Mike Tyson is. My dad would always tell me, when you are having to defend something, defend yourself, or you're having a conversation, you can't just say, you always do this, you do that. You need to have facts that will knock their argument out with a Mike Tyson punch and they can't recover. So when I'm watching these shows, I'm going factually and I'm like, no, factually. And so when I'm wanting to interview people, I'm like, I think I'm like devouring everything I can about you. Oh, and this makes sense. Because I feel like who wants to come into or any conversation completely cold? We're not in a social group. I'm interviewing you. So I'm like having my facts. So then people don't know I know this stuff. So now I'm bringing that into watching you. And I'm like, no. She's not just staying home. She has a business.
Yeah, you're so cute. Yeah, I think people should just, you know, I try. I don't know what people should do. It's their lives. But I try to keep an open mind. And being on the show has made me have even bigger open-minded about this. So, because I know these women now, and you know, the pushback they get on things, and it's like, it's not fair sometimes. Some are fair, some are not. But I just want people in this season to just hold on.
Just hold on a little while longer.
And I will say, this is my little bit of like tea, is that things shift very quickly soon.
Oh. Okay. That just made my stomach go like,
yes.
So,
I know you're going to,
it's like, oh, you have to go. Did you feel watching the season back when you went in knowing that there was, just being completely honest, knowing that there was another minority, Garcelle, did it make you feel a sense of comfort? And then were you not taken aback, but when you saw how close her and Sutton were, did that make you say, well, wait a minute? Because I know, for instance, with New York, and they had Ebony, and then Brashawn was brought in sometimes as a friend. I remember, and I had to check myself, because in my mind I said, oh, immediately they need to have each other's backs because they are the only. So if I were you, I would have went in thinking she's going to have my back because she knows what it feels like. And watching, knowing she wasn't there for every scene, but I was upset a little bit, like, wait a minute, this is not going how it should go. So did you feel any of that?
I did.
Okay.
And I'd be lying if I didn't. When I first walked in, we both lit up.
Yes.
Like, you remember that? She's like, oh my God. Like, and we talked about it. And then I think Tahoe immediately shifted.
Okay.
She was clearly like, you know,
they were my friend.
I knew, and maybe she was like, maybe I don't trust Crystal. I don't know. But I always chose to give her the benefit of the doubt. And I think people can see that through the whole season,
No
matter what, even though I felt maybe I didn't get that. In fact, I didn't get that. But I just said to myself, like, I'm going to show who I am.
Gotcha. And you can't worry about anything.
I don't
else.
Do things based on, if I feel like something's wrong or right, I'll say it. Okay. And I'm going to be a supporter and an ally. And if I don't have allies, I don't. And that's okay too.
Because at the end of the day, you have to face yourself knowing you did what you set out to do.
Yes.
Okay. This is the last thing. So I have a question for you. Crystal, you are the founder of a business that's very successful. You're on a housewives show that's national. You've done a lot of things in your life up until this point. And what I did not say was you actually got a degree in biology and history. So you've done quite a few different things. So if we were to fast forward 5 years, it is 2026. And you were, or somebody was to be congratulating Crystal, you were to be congratulating yourself on achieving something that you've always wanted to achieve, whether it be property, whether it be peace, anything. What would you be congratulating yourself on achieving in 2026?
Girl, you're gonna make me want to cry. Question. Best wish I've ever received. Oh man.
You know what's funny, Crystal? I've never done this. If God was standing here, I got lip gloss out of my purse. And I said, just in case she says something to make me, I literally have tissues. I've never.
This has been incredibly dynamic year for me. Putting myself out there on the show. I never wanted to be on TV, and so much negativity for just looking like the way I look has been hard. And, you know, I appreciate so many GMs, but the Asian community is very scared, and this is, we stay quiet. And so, in 5 years, maybe it's too much to ask, I don't know, but that maybe people will, this is, I have so many wishes, but maybe people go back and just say like, oh, I judged you, or I wanted you to be a certain way when I saw that. But now I validate your strength. And
wow,
that would be nice.
I think my stomach is like, I think that is the bet. Not I think that is, I've asked that question to so many different people. I have another podcast that I do, and I normally end with that question. And that is one of the best answers that I have ever gotten. I will say now that I appreciate you. I am not Asian, but I feel like I'm your sister in being a woman of color.
Yes.
And I appreciate your transparency. I appreciate you stepping outside of your boundaries, doing a show that I'm sure your family wasn't necessarily the happiest that you did. And you chose to honor your own boundaries. Ayan LaVanzant, people have their feelings about her, but one thing she says is people don't disrespect our boundaries. We allow ourselves to disrespect our boundaries and we don't honor them. So thank you for honoring your boundaries in front of millions of people, regardless of what they give back to you.
Thank you.
I'm so glad I got to talk to you today. I'm sure won't be the last time I talk to you to lighten the mood, because she's not going to make me continue to, my eyes continue to sweat, not cry, people sweat, because you are going to take me to get my Air Force Ones.
Yes.
Spray painted lime green.
Yes, I will.
So, and I have to say this, I'm going to brag on my daughter for a bit. I know I read the review. Somebody said, we get it, you're a good mom, which people don't realize when you're talking about your kids. It's because you actually think that you may have failed them in some way. And you're proud of them for being who they are, regardless of the mistakes you made. But as soon as I heard Lion King, so my kids used to be in entertainment, and my daughter had got down to the top three to be young Nala on Broadway and then on the tour some years back. So when you said Lion King, part of me is like, I boycott Lion King, but really I don't. I love it, but.
Well, don't worry. My husband doesn't cast the show.
So we like that. So we like him just for everything he's done for. But eventually I got past that. But there's so many TV shows I wouldn't watch now. I'd be like, 5 years ago, my daughter auditioned for that part.
Again, you know, everything is triggering to people that you don't know their history with it.
This is Us. It took me forever to watch it because my daughter auditioned to play the daughter. So I was like, we're not watching this in our house. But no, seriously, I thank you for being who you are. And I hope everyone hearing this takes a beat, steps back, and becomes the person that you would want somebody to be if you were on TV and needing some grace. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Crystal, you know I am riding with you hands down. You see the post I do.
I know. I'm so grateful grateful for it all. Trust me. I'm thank you so much.
You have a lot of people supporting you. And guys, just so you know, I was doing those posts before me and Crystal ever had a conversation. So
yes, you know that, y'all.
I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.